The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Once upon a time in Radioland, a towering man strode to a silver microphone and announced to the world these words.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am that announcer, and my name is Todd Wilkerson. And this is the show I announce.
I'm announcing it right now, in fact.
And you have a front row seat to history.
Here's Eric.
Folks, in case I forgot to tell you, I'm in show business now. We have cameras. I get big guests, big Hollywood guests. I have long been friends with Victoria Jackson, an alumna, that's the right word, not an alumnus, an alumna of Saturday Night Live and Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. And we've done a lot of shows over the air on radio. And I thought, Victoria, this is not right. You're a TV personality. I think of myself as a TV personality. We really need to get together on TV. Would it be possible for you to get to New York? And she always says, no. And then I said, look, God has to work this out. God has to get to you to New York because the fun we'll have on camera. And now that she's actually here in the studio, I'm not so sure. Welcome, Victoria.
What?
What? Vicky.
What?
We're on TV.
What's
happening?
You're not sure we're going to have fun? I just gave you 10 minutes of brilliant material before the cameras
were not so sure. Listen, don't bully me. I'm the host. Is your husband in the building?
Right there.
Is he right there?
Paul!
Paulie, come on in. Paulie, don't be shy. It's just TV.
Sit over there, Paul.
This is so great that not only you are here, but Paul is here. Because we talk about Paul on the radio a lot.
TBS!
And
I love this set. There's gold, and it's beautiful.
Vicky, you're not going to take control of this interview, okay? I vowed in my quiet time this morning that I would not allow a Jezebelic spirit to destroy what I have built.
I am an alpha dog, and I'll suppress it and let you be the alpha
Vicky,
dog.
Vicky, seriously, we've got to stop joking and get serious.
Okay.
I am so happy to have you as my guest in the studio.
It's birthday.
So oh, no. We don't have a cake or anything, Albin.
I'm on a diet.
Happy birthday.
I'm turning 60 today.
Can I tell you something seriously? You told me that was your birthday a while ago, and I completely forgot.
That's because you were in Greece, and you were excavating some cave of some important Ulysses or something.
No, I'm not. I was not excavating.
And everybody has a birthday. Not such a big deal. But excavating Ulysses is a big deal.
Seriously, does everybody have a birthday? I guess you and I, most people we know. But
yeah, it's not a big deal. It's not an achievement or anything.
Vicky, what brings you to New York City?
My birthday and you.
Your birthday and me? That's not true. I know for a fact, because Paul's sitting there enduring this, you're here because you wanted to hear David Sedaris speak in the Hamptons.
I'm going to the Hamptons where the rich people live. And I'm going to hear David Sedaris, famous author like you.
Yeah, just like me.
Speak about his work.
Except and he's openly gay.
You know David Sedaris.
A lot of people know David Sedaris.
Yes.
He's a brilliantly funny writer. His sister, Amy Sedaris, is brilliantly funny. I've had the pleasure of meeting her. But he's going to speak.
And he's openly gay. And I want to get a picture with him and love him and kiss him and tell him I'm a fan. And I, my daughter's a huge fan, and we read all of his books. And since I spoke out publicly and said that the TV show Glee should not have two teenage boys kissing, children are watching, I got a lot of hate mail on the internet, and they said I'm homophobic, and I'm not. And I have gay friends, and that sounds really icky, but you know that thing about friends, but I love gay people. I I love David Sedaris's work, and I don't want
people over here, Vicky, to focus.
They don't know anything about me. I mean, that's it.
They know what they need to know. You're a bigot. Now, listen, Vicky, let's
I'm
talk
racist,
about comedy.
I'm a racist, homophobic bigot, but I love
the
everybody.
The people who know you and love you know that deep down you're full of hatred.
Anyway, I was so excited because I looked online and David Sedaris was speaking 6 hours away from me in every direction. And I thought, well, I don't want to drive 6 hours. Why don't I just fly to New York? Visit Eric Metaxas, the author.
But if you're going to drive to the Hamptons, you could hit bad traffic. It could be 6 hours. When are you driving out there?
I have to be there tonight at 8 p.m. So I got to get out of here.
Are you joking? Okay, no kidding. When you're done with this, you need to get the heck out of here.
Okay.
You're gonna hit bad traffic.
Let's talk really fast.
But you're with that cop over there. You guys can fly it. You can fly a chopper out there, but they won't let you pilot the chopper. I know that your husband piloted a chopper.
Did I say anything inappropriate yet?
You mean in your life?
In this show.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But I'm not a good listener, Vicky.
Can you edit?
Listen, we need to talk. We need to get really specific. So you're in New York. Wait a minute. It's your birthday. Vicky, I'm over here.
Oh.
There's no audience. I'm over here. Okay. This is a black box. This is the Charlie Rose studio. There's no audience. This is not the Tonight Show. Listen. It's your birthday, and I really want to say happy birthday. I'm just thrilled that you'd be here, and I know even if it weren't your birthday, you'd be all dressed up anyway, and that bow is so cute.
Thank you.
Bows work for you. Bows work for very few women, and even fewer men.
I want to tell you, everybody, am such a fan of Eric Metaxas, and I discovered
who
him.
Who are you looking at, the camera?
I discovered him. Sorry.
You discovered me?
Yeah. I was in L.A. with my daughter, and I heard that the guy who wrote Amazing Grace was going to be speaking. I killed myself to get to Santa Monica. And
where was I speaking?
I don't know, in this building. And
a building?
Yeah, and they were interviewing you, and you were so smart and funny, and you were a Christian. And I was like, oh, I love him representing us. He does it so well. And then I talked to you after. And I thought you wrote the movie Amazing Grace. You wrote the book.
I wrote the book, yeah.
And so then I started getting all your books and reading all your books. But I forced you to be my friend. And I never do that. I'm not a groupie of anybody except David Sedaris and you. And
you know that we're both Greek.
Really?
We both do humor.
That's right.
And both of us are sexual beings. Yeah. Yeah. I don't care who knows. I don't care.
What is that supposed to mean?
I have no idea. But seriously, you, Vicky, I'm over here. Vicky, don't make me force you.
Well, the audience is over there.
No, there's no audience.
There's
Vicky.
Two people.
No, you're talking.
Well, these people count too, but they're pretending they're invisible.
I've lost control. Paul, I'm starting to understand that look on your face.
Sorry.
So look, Vicky, I've never done this before, but I'm going to have to throw you off the set. No, I want to talk to you about what's going on in your life. You always have such a fascinating life. Vicky, I'm over here. I'm not enough of an audience for you.
No, I don't like my profile. And if I look this way, you're going to
you
show
don't know
my
what
double.
Camera, you don't know what camera they're using.
They're going to show my double show, chin the whole time.
They're going to show this camera.
Well, then I'll look this way.
Yeah, I think you should look at me and let them worry about that. They'll make you look good. Yeah, they'll make you look good.
60 years old.
And you can kick.
Molly Shannon, that was a brilliant,
Molly
brilliant
Shannon,
character.
I would love to meet her, just like I wanted to meet you. There are very few people that I feel that way about. Like, you just feel like, I have to meet this person.
Yeah,
Molly Shannon, what's she doing? There are certain people that are so talented.
She's on a Netflix show.
I'm over here, Vicky.
She's on a show. She's working now, and she's being very funny on that show on HBO or Netflix.
Really?
Okay, so Eric, did you really cut your trip in Greece short just to do this interview?
You know something? I laid my hand onto the femur of what I'm sure was Penelope, the wife of Odysseus, and the phone rang and they said, Eric, if you want to, Vicky's going to be here, it's her birthday, whatever it is.
You need to go now.
And I said, goodbye, Penelope, so that I could come here and say, hello, Vicky.
Touch my bone.
You know what I mean? Look at this. Look at that.
Yeah, there you
now,
go.
Now, at least you got some meat on the bone. Penelope was not looking that good. She's been in the grave for over three centuries. And she doesn't
have a weight problem.
Now, you know, in all seriousness, the grave was excavated in 1992. And this is true. They've discovered the grave of Odysseus, but has never made the news. It's very complicated why, but I'm making a documentary about it, and there's no comedy in it. It's very serious.
That's cool.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, Vicky, you'll still be here, and I'll still be here, but we're going to talk to each other, okay?
Okay.
The audience is not here. Folks, stick around.
Okay, I'm all yours.
Portions of today's program are sponsored by Food for the Poor.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway.
Oh, hello. Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I am Eric Metaxas. This is the show, and it has been my dream for a long time to have Victoria Jackson on as my guest in the studio. And not only is she here, but it's her birthday. Vicky, happy birthday. I can't believe you're here on your birthday. And you can talk. It's okay. You're not going to like talk around to the audience and the camera people anymore.
No,
right?
I'm only talking to you.
Because before you were we talk about you've been on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson so many times.
20 times.
20 times. Most of us haven't even like broken into the teens, and you were on there 20 times. And remember when he would have like the animal, they would Jim Fowler or whatever would come out with the animals, right? And they would do all this weird stuff. That's what you just reminded me of, like where the set's going crazy and then we can't control. Yeah. Like you were just like that. It was
I
just
had
like
too
there's
much
no
caffeine.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, what are we gonna do about
but
that?
But it's wearing off now.
There are no Quaaludes in the building.
Okay, so what I wanted to tell TBN was, A, I discovered you. B, I'm your groupie fan. C, my book club just read your book, Seven Women, and we loved it.
Really?
It inspired us to make a difference in the world for God with our little piece of, you know, contribution of our little life. Because those women you wrote about were normal people. They didn't get born to be great. They were just normal people trying to obey God in their little slice of the world, you know. And I wanted to tell you that. I want to tell you that I prayed for a long time, off and on, when I think of it, for you to be the next Johnny Carson, and it's coming true right now.
And there's nothing they can do to stop us.
And I wanted to tell
your prayers and my fake tan, we're going to the top, kid. Seriously, that means so much to me. People say they prayed for me. I'm unequal to it. It means so much. Vicky, seriously, like
real.
Means a lot to me. The fact that you actually were on with Carson so many times, I can't bear
that. To say that when you did the National Prayer Breakfast in 2012,
yeah,
in front of Obama and told the gospel, I'm more of a fan of you than of Elvis Presley, of more than any.
What about Johnny Mathis?
You're the wit and you were so relaxed because you were just being a vehicle for God to speak through love to that room. And I love, people have to see the 2012 National Prayer Breakfast where you spoke. And also wanted to tell you that your interview that I saw with the woman who wrote the Copper Scroll.
Shelley Neese.
I have sent it to everybody I know. It was the most exciting interview. I love that there's a new Dead Sea Scroll that no one knows about. That's a treasure map.
Now, did you watch the long version on YouTube?
Yeah, like three times.
Because the long version, if people go to the Eric Metaxas Show on YouTube, you can see the long version. She was an amazing guest, but I love archaeology. That's why I'm doing this stuff in Greece and everything. But that's the kind of thing you dream about, right? Like it's like one of these things that you think it would be made up in a movie starring Nicolas Cage. But no, it's real.
But what if they found the Ark of the Covenant? How cool would that be?
But then, then you know you're in the end times.
That's yippee.
Right? I agree.
Hello?
I mean, I just think Elizabeth Warren running for president is is end time stuff, you know,
yeah.
because it's kind of scary. A lot of people are really freaked out by that. But I think that if they were to find the Ark of the Covenant. Now, let's for people who are tuning in just now, maybe they don't know what we mean. Do you remember the Shelley Neese show? People should watch that. But or she was my guest on this show. But I don't remember the details. In other words, they found a kind of hidden. Go ahead.
No, the copper scroll was hidden in the back of a cave.
Because the Dead Sea Scrolls, there's tons of caves.
Yeah.
People think it's just one cave,
yeah.
and they found all these Dead Sea Scrolls. No.
A shepherd threw a rock, and
killed Goliath.
Present day, 1940-something.
Oh, more recently.
And he hit a clink, and they went in there, and there were scrolls. They're 2,000 years old, and the Book of Isaiah is exactly the same as it is now, the one we're reading. So when people go, oh, the Bible got all messed up.
In the Middle Ages, they changed it. Not
yeah, yeah.
True.
No. Our Isaiah is the same as the Isaiah in a cave from 2,000 years ago. But they found a lot of scrolls, and some are on the black market because the shepherds are like, oh, we can make money at this.
We can make some kids better than
some
than
of them are politically
sheep.
Being fought over, like who's the boss of the land, right?
Right, right.
And then some of them are actually in the hands of Bible scholars.
Right.
And the copper scroll, they've translated from Hebrew, right?
Well,
no,
but
was
just
it,
to be just to be clear, they discovered it fairly recently, didn't they?
Oh, yes, really. This scroll, recent discovery.
So
very
there
recent.
Was, in other words,
like
somebody, I don't remember the details. People have to watch the show. They can go to
it's
YouTube.
It's a treasure map.
But they found another, like a hidden panel behind the cave. It really sounds like something out of a Vincent Price movie. And they've, you know, I met Vincent Price.
Really?
Yeah. Can we just stop there?
You want to hear my Sean Connery story?
We've hit our peak. I know your Sean Connery story.
I met Sean Connery.
I know that story. I'm over here.
Uh-huh.
You are. You're like one of those, the crazy lemur on Johnny Carson's head, and it's like the show just went insane. It's like
when
you have
a compliment?
No.
Can I be the Cocker Spaniel?
Lemurs are so cute. Of course, it's a compliment.
I think Cocker Spaniel is cute. No.
Nah.
Maltese.
If I called you a Copper Spaniel.
I do look like my dog.
Let's go back.
People look like
you have a
dog.
Maltese?
Yeah.
We have a half Maltese, half Yorkshire Terrier.
Yeah, mine's half, yeah.
Yours is half?
Half
what?
Cocker and half Maltese.
Oh.
I have a half Maltese, too.
So our dogs could be related. Don't we have to go back to the copper scroll? Isn't it time?
Anyway, I just wanted to tell everyone all those reasons why I'm your fan. And then I want to tell everyone about my new movie.
Wait a minute. You mean that you're going to come on my show and plug? That's just not right.
Shameless plug.
That is not right. You really are in a movie? You didn't even tell me. What's the movie?
And God gave me the birthday present of getting to be in a Christian movie as I'm turning 60, when women over 40 never work in acting unless they're Meryl Streep. Of course, they're changing that now. The Me Too movement is kind of really pushing the women thing now, but it is hard to get parts as any kind of an actor.
But can you tell us what is the name of the movie and when's it coming out?
Don't we have to go to a commercial?
We'll get to that.
Okay. It's called Lost Heart, and we filmed it in
Lost Heart?
Uh-huh, and we filmed it in a place called Hart, Michigan. I just left the set yesterday.
Do they know?
Yeah, they gave me a birthday party, and the sweetest people I've ever worked with.
What is this movie?
It is, it's...
Is it going to be in theaters?
I think, yeah. And I think it's going to be really good.
Is it a drama, comedy?
It's a drama.
Comedy?
And I cried in four scenes. I sobbed in four scenes. And, like, I can't cry on cue. So I asked God, I was like, Lord, this scene requires crying. I'm seeing my daughter again for the first time in 25 years.
In the movie.
Of course I would cry in real life. So I was like, Lord, I have to cry in this scene. And I can't cry on cue. And so Jesus helped me. Because the movie's to glorify him. It's all about him.
But, I mean,
He helped me cry.
We can talk about God helped you to cry.
He helped me to cry.
It's a good thing if you made this movie in heaven, you wouldn't have been able to cry, because there's no crying in heaven. You know that. There's no tears in heaven. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
So it's a good thing you made the movie before you went to glory. Now listen, before we before we go to a break, we've got plenty of time. Don't worry about the clock. I'll worry about that, all right?
Okay.
Seriously, Vicky, the movie, when will it come out? Like, did you
probably
finish?
Probably in a year.
In a year?
And the group that's making it is called Collective Development Incorporated. And
what a sexy name.
Yes.
Collective
Development Incorporated. And it's this group
of... But doesn't that sound like an agrarian kind of...
Collective is a bad word in my world.
Collective is a very Soviet kind of term.
Collectivism is bad. But they're not talking about politics. They're talking about a collection of artists in Michigan, mostly. And they all... It was... Nobody had an ego.
Nobody had an ego?
Nobody was cursing. Nobody was angry.
What kind of a film is this? Seriously, Vicky, this is wonderful to hear about. Now, so you're saying it's coming out in a year. It's called Losing Heart,
Lost Heart.
But why would you plug it now? Isn't it too
soon
to plug it?
Because I'm so excited about it. And I told the director, if you're not going to use my crying scenes and you edit them out and they're on the editing room floor, could you smush them together, put them in a box and send them to me so I can prove that I'm a real actress and I don't just play bimbos? And he said, we don't do it that way anymore. I can't really put them in a box.
You know, we're going to have to go to a break because I don't like where this interview is going. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to see if we can straighten this out. Vicky, don't move. We'll be right back.
Ragged skies. And up a cloudy draw.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I am talking to a friend of mine. Her name is Victoria Jackson. Victoria Jackson, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Listen.
I know. I don't look 60.
60?
Yeah, I know. What can I say?
Why women aren't supposed to give their numbers out on the air?
But you
That's
see,
like
people,
advertising your dimensions or something. It's not done.
Dimensions, I wouldn't.
It's simply not done.
Well, it is done to
Vicky,
me because you
Vicky,
can Google it.
People, yeah, but the point is most people wouldn't do that. They don't know how to spell Victoria, really.
Why should I say I'm 39 if they're going to Google it anyway?
Because maybe you are. Vicky,
well,
maybe you are.
I can still do a handstand.
Maybe you are. Well, listen, I want to talk to you. You've had this incredible career in Hollywood. You started out doing comedy. You were on The Tonight Show.
I started out on The Jeffersons, and I had green hair, and I played a punk rocker.
Wait.
That was my first acting.
Okay, I'm a little confused. You started out on The Jeffersons. Now, when you say punk rocker, I think The Jeffersons, like the mid-70s. This had to be the later 70s.
This was 1981.
Okay. That, and you know what? 81 is very late 70s.
Right.
So, because when you say punk rock, but I was in college at that point, so I was no longer watching my favorite sitcoms, right? So The Jeffersons was evidently still on the air. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been in it. Right?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, so you. So what do you mean you started?
Sherman Helmsley.
Met Sherman Helmsley?
Yes, and I had to say to him, you want to go out back and light my hair on fire? And I auditioned, and I got the part, and I was like, I have no idea how to be a punk rocker, and I have no idea what that line means.
Do you think that they really cared about that?
Well, I was thinking I'd have to be on drugs. I went at Auburn, I was theater major.
But you're acting like this is like a Lee Strasberg seminar.
Yes.
This was
Lee Strasberg is next door.
I know.
I took a lot of pictures.
I know. Did you really?
Yeah, TBN. Lee Strasberg. My two favorite things. Acting.
Thanks for giving out where we are. Now here come the bomb threats. So, folks, listen, Vicky.
Oh, no.
Please focus. You were on The Jeffersons, which, you know, never was like a great written show. Like the comedy was great. But in 81, everybody knows it was like on the way out. That was like,
well,
Archie
then that's
Bunker's,
why they had me on.
That was like Archie Bunker's place. Archie Bunker's place. Nobody really associates that with All in the Family, right?
Eric.
That's like when Froggy and Robert Blake Beretta were on Our Gang comedies. You realize like it's not the original Our Gang.
I was on a lot of shows as they were going out. For instance, Hollywood Squares. I was like on the last one.
With Peter Marshall?
No, Henry Fonzie was, Henry Winkler was like the producer of the last few, And I was on, like, the last one.
But wait a minute. Was Peter Marshall still the host?
No.
You don't remember who the host
was? That
was
a long time ago.
Who was the host?
I didn't have a TV when that guy in the middle was real funny. What was that name?
Paul Lynn.
Yeah, him. I was I didn't have a TV.
Charlie Weaver, George Gobel.
Paul
Lynn. Waylon Flowers and Madam.
Paul Lynn was funny.
Nobody was better than Paul Lynn.
I know.
Nobody.
That was like.
But actually, Vincent Price used to be on there, too.
I don't know Vincent Price because I didn't have a TV when I grew up, and I never saw Leave It to Beaver. I saw Laughing at my grandmother's because she babysat us on the weekends when my parents went to the movies kids couldn't go to.
Right.
So
I think we've run out of things
to talk about. I was on the Jeffersons, and, you know, and I was excited.
Okay, 1981. So you were just a kid. You're on the Jeffersons. You're playing a punk rocker. And you had a line.
Green hair.
Right. But that's like when punk rock was just, like, it was like a cultural thing, right? Like, punk rockers are crazy. So, you know, you want to come light my hair on fire. That was their idea of a joke.
Well, I was trying to analyze it. I guess I'd be on drugs if I was saying that. So I was, like, really trying to analyze it. I only had three lines. But anyway. So then I got other fun acting jobs.
So what happened at the Jeffersons? That's pretty cool. What happened
after
the Jeffersons?
You want me to tell my Warren Beatty story?
Your what? Your Warren Beatty? You've already told that, but not with the cameras on. I've been waiting for this moment, Vicky. No, come on. This is a great story.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it appropriate for TBN?
Well, we'll figure it out.
Okay, so I auditioned for The Pickup Artist, my first big movie. And I asked my pastor, Harold Lane, at First Baptist of Pasadena, if it would be okay for me to be in a movie playing the mall or the bad girl. But I didn't have to do anything bad, but I was supposed to be Harvey Keitel's girlfriend or something.
The very idea, even of kissing Harvey Keitel, is so sinful and horrible that no Christian should ever be forced to do that. But
well,
go ahead.
I didn't have to kiss him. I had to kiss Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, but he was a child at that time.
So was I.
That's right. Okay.
So then I auditioned. Okay. So then Warren Beatty was the producer.
Okay.
And then he said to me, we had to improvise some kind of romantic scene. And I did it, and I was blushing because I was raised in the Baptist church, and, you know, I didn't talk about that. And so when Warren Beatty walked me down the hall after my audition, he said, where did you study acting? And I was like, oh, well, I don't really study that much. I just try to pretend it's real. I just try to pretend.
We're going to go to another break. Vicky, when we come back, I've heard this story before. I love your Hollywood stories. We'll be right back talking to Victoria Jackson on her birthday, folks.
60 years old!
Hey, folks, if you've been listening to the news, reading the papers, it is no secret there's a food crisis in Central America. It generates headlines every day. I am now partnering on this program with Food for the Poor to help save the lives of displaced children and their families from Venezuela, who, by the way, are now trapped in Colombia with nothing to eat. You can't imagine, folks. They need our help. We want to rush life-saving food and emergency relief to these kids. Go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, and give. Here's the phone number, 844-863-HOPE. These folks need our help. 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE. See you come in. Welcome. It's the Eric and Taxes Show. This is my living room, and this is my friend. What's your name again, honey?
Victoria Jackson.
Victoria Jackson. Is it still your birthday?
Yep.
Because we've been here for a while now, but it's still your birthday.
Yeah.
Vicky, listen.
Wouldn't
you were telling us a great story about Warren Beatty. So you were breaking into the business. You get a job, and he asks you, where did you study acting, and what happened?
Write down Christine, the weightlifter, because I want to talk about her after. Okay. The movie I just...
Check. Christine, the...
See,
hold on
I'm
a second.
Being the alpha dog.
Weight
I can't help it.
Lifter. Christine, the weightlifter.
Okay.
Yes.
See, the movie I just did, she was
No. I want to go back in time to when Warren Beatty.
So Warren Beatty goes, where did you study acting? Because when I had to improv that romantic scene,
right.
I blushed, and I said, well, I didn't really study, but I'm a Baptist, and so that's probably why my cheeks turned red or something. And he goes, oh, well, I was raised Baptist or something like that. Me and my sister, Shirley MacLaine.
But we kicked God to the curb back in the 50s with...
But he didn't say that.
Mr. Kazan.
He just kind of said, I was raised in the Baptist church too, or something like that.
Isn't that interesting that he and Shirley MacLaine... Well, a lot of people don't know that Shirley MacLaine is his sister.
Yeah.
Which makes him, think about this, it makes him her brother.
Yeah,
and they're siblings. They're siblings.
Well, you know, I think church is a lot like show business, and I grew up in the church. And if you really think about it, you know, there's a guy talking up there, and he tells jokes, and everyone laughs. And there's music.
You ain't been to my church, sister.
There's music.
But hang on a second. So he tells you he was raised as a Baptist. Now I would think, knowing Warren Beatty as I do, that he was probably, you know, trying to pick you up.
Maybe.
And trying to make you feel safe by saying, hey, I'm a backslidden Baptist, so let's get together.
You know, I didn't read that into it, but...
Yeah, so you weren't playing a ditzy blonde.
I was about 24, 25. Yeah. I was 25.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was older. Anyway, so...
Isn't he still older?
He's still older than me. Yeah. So I went home, and I didn't hear anything. So I said to my agent, did I get the part? It was part of Lulu.
Lulu?
Yeah.
The mall?
Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear anything.
It's pretty creative stuff.
Okay. So I was 3 months pregnant, right? I get a call.
You were 3 months pregnant?
With my first daughter, Scarlett, who is now a Christian writer,
and
author.
She wrote a book.
She wrote
Does
two books.
Does she ever come to New York?
Yeah,
we should get her on the show. Okay,
first book
seriously,
is
I would love that. So you were pregnant with Scarlett. Wait, we got to focus. You were pregnant with Scarlett, 3 months pregnant. What happened?
They go, Warren Beatty wants you to come to his house to read through the movie, to do a table read.
Oh, really?
And I go, to his house? I go, is that what people usually do in Hollywood? And
it's what Warren has done for years.
And they're like, well, I don't know. So I go, okay. So I brought my husband at the time. It was my fire eater husband, not my SWAT guy husband.
Okay.
That's my 27 years married to SWAT
guy. So you brought your husband.
My first husband.
Yes.
The fire eater.
The fire eater.
Because I thought it's inappropriate to go to Warren Beatty's house.
You know why you thought that?
Why?
Because it is inappropriate. And so you were pretty smart. So you bring your husband with you to Warren Beatty's house.
Yeah, and I was 3 months pregnant.
Did you get a photo of Warren Beatty, the look on his face when you walked in with
no,
your husband?
No, but I didn't tell anyone I was pregnant because I didn't want to lose work. Because I was poor and I had to make money and, you know, I didn't want to lose work. So I didn't tell anyone I was pregnant. So
right.
I go in there. So baby Scarlett was in Warren Beatty's house too. And she's now 33. And she's an author.
And she's an author.
Yeah.
But wait, we're not done with the story.
Christian author. Okay, so I go up to the front door, and I'm really nervous.
But wait, was your husband with you at the door?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, go ahead.
And I knock on the door, and Warren Beatty opens the door, and he's wearing a towel.
Exactly.
Only.
Yeah, of course. That's the whole plan. That was the plan.
And I said, oh, should we have dressed more casually?
Oh, that's funny. Vicky, that's funny. That's pretty funny.
I know. And I had to think fast because I didn't know what to say. I was like, I'm kind of proud that popped out of my mouth.
Yeah, that was good.
That was pretty funny.
Pretty good.
And I didn't even go to Yale.
Right. You didn't even do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened then?
So then he goes, come in. And me and the fire eater went in. And, like, no one was there yet, and we sat at this kitchen table. Oh, and his houseboy was this real handsome guy, and I said, does Warren always wear a towel, and that's all, when people are coming over? And he went, oh, he was just being polite. He sunbathes in the nude.
Uh-huh.
And so then we sat at the table, and then a famous actor came out of one of the bedrooms with this beautiful girl.
Wait a minute. You're not going to tell us who it was?
No.
Be honest. Was it Ernie Borgnine? Come on.
No.
Was it Borgnine?
No.
Marty. Hey, Marty. We're going out. We're going to the Roseland Ballroom. Was it? It was not Borgnine.
No.
It, what, wait, come on. I'm gonna guess. You gotta let me guess.
No.
You gotta let me guess. It was in the
80s. This is. It was a famous actor.
It was a famous. It's not a Christian show. This is a show.
Well, I think it's a Christian show. I don't know what you think it is.
Is this a Christian microphone? Is that a Christian bow?
I'm a Christian.
Is that a Christian
bow? I'm not supposed to gossip.
And I'm a Christian. Well, that's different.
I'm not gossiping. I'm telling a true story, and it's, you know, so then we read.
Wait a minute.
But
you said a famous actor came out of the room, he was already there.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know what he was doing in the room. So he comes out, and then all the actors showed up.
He was probably playing Pong.
Right. And we read the movie.
By Atari.
We read the movie out loud, and then I didn't hear anything. And then all of a sudden, I was having a baby, and they called and said, we're shooting in a month. You got the part of Lulu, and I had to lose 45 pounds in a month.
Is that legal?
Maybe it was 2 months.
45 pounds?
And I kind of did it.
What, you're kidding?
Well, it might have been 2 months. And I hiked.
45?
You know what I did? I hiked up and down Laurel Canyon, where I lived, Laurel Canyon, all day, every day, and ate a salad. And by the time we shot the movie, you know, I had a baby, and I lost the baby weight.
That's incredible. But I thought this was going in a whole different direction. Warren Beatty probably was honorable.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not gossiping. And then I had to kiss Robert Downey Jr. in a scene. And then that was my first movie.
Now, be honest.
Except for Stooge Mania.
Hold on a second.
I did do Stooge Mania before.
Okay. You know what? We're going to have to go to a break right now. We'll be right back. We're celebrating Victoria Jackson's birthday on the Eric Metaxas Show. Unbelievable. We've never done this before. Is this not the sweetest thing? This is so incredible. Vicky, I cannot believe that it's your birthday today. We baked a cake for you. And I got to say, I am so happy that this all worked out. Now, will you make a wish? And we're all going to sing happy birthday to you. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Victoria. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
Thank
Vicky.
Thank you.
I can't believe it. We got a cake.
You know what I'd love to do? I would love to smash it into my face.
I know, but if you did that, I'd be so upset.
But it would be the first time on your show.
No, we'll do it another time with a different kind of cake. We'll do it with a soupy sales kind of.
I would love to smash it
into my face. Another time. Vicky, we've got to finish these stories because I know you're in New York City and we're going to get you back for another show. So we don't have to do everything here. We'll get you back for another show like in the next day or so. We'll work it out. With your current husband, what's his name? But we will, and I want you to tell the Christine the Weightlifter story and all that kind of stuff. But right now, Vicky, today is your birthday,
and I want to sing a song for you.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, we only have 2 minutes. Can you do that?
It's a minute.
All right, it's a minute song.
Yeah.
Don't they need to be three? Go ahead.
But someone has to look up the Bible verse. How compassionate God is, because it's in the middle, and I forgot what it was.
Okay.
People point their fingers and tell me that I'm wrong. Turn their head away, say I don't belong. Cover up their ears, they don't want to hear my song. But I'm doing the best I can, dear God. I'm writing you this letter because I know you're real. No one understands me, but you know how I feel. I try to be like you and walk the straight and narrow way, but I keep falling down, so that's why I must say, dear God, I'm doing the best I can. Doing the best I can, love me.
That is so sweet. Why'd you stop? I love it.
I...
That is so. Have you ever thought of going professional?
Someday I'll be home and get to rest my feet. Can't imagine heaven, but I know it's sweet. Until I see your face, I'll probably repeat. I'm doing the best I can, dear God. Everybody, dear God, I'm doing the best I can. His mercies are new every morning. Doing the best I can. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Love me.
Amen. I can't believe this. We had a cake and two songs in a short segment. That's the kind of show I'm talking about. Vicky, we're done with show number one, but I know you're going to go back to your hotel, get changed, and it'll still be your birthday, maybe, unless we do this tomorrow. But honestly, thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks for listening, folks. You've been listening to the news, reading the papers. It is no secret there's a food crisis in Central America. It generates headlines every day. I am now partnering on this program with Food for the Poor to help save the lives of displaced children and their families from Venezuela. They need our help. We want to rush life-saving food and emergency relief to these kids. I just want to say go to MetaxasTalk.com. Please do something. Anything you do. We always say this. Just go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, and give. Here's the phone number. These folks need our help. 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.